Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for how good you are to us. Thank you, Lord, for this time together of worship and fellowship. Thank you for this time in the Word. We ask now that you would open up our hearts and help us comprehend, help us apply what your Word says to us, and may you get all of the glory out of our lives. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 16. It says, then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the street and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The message I want to share with you this morning is entitled, It's Always Something. Anybody ever said that before? It's always something. I unfortunately have to admit, I say that a lot. I say it a lot to myself. It's always normally a cry of frustration, right? It's always something. Nobody says it when it's happy. Hey, it's always something. It's an ice cream cone. Nobody normally says that, right? It's always something. It's a proclamation that I have tried, and it just seems like the universe is against me. It's not, you know the saying, if it's not one thing, it's another. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, there's always something that comes up that is meant to cause you to throw up your hands in frustration. It happened to me yesterday. I said this yesterday. I was trimming some hedges for my neighbor, and I only have an electric hedge trimmer, so the extension cord's only so long. And after you attach 4 of them, you can only go so far. You know? And you get to that one last, I just gotta cut this one last limb, and you stretch it out too far, it pops out of the outlet. I've gotta walk all the way back. How many of you have ever washed your car and the hose always gets caught under the tire? Doesn't it? It always does. Every single time. One of the things that frustrates me, and Scott likes this when he's pointing that out, how many of you admit that any time you have a handful of things, if you've got it all in one hand, when you get to the door to unlock it, your keys are in the pocket of the hand in which you're holding everything. It's always something. I mean, you're already holding the door open because you've tried to be Superman to get everything out. I am not going back to the car. So you've got everything right here. How many of you have been on the phone? There are literally 10,000 pens in your house. But you're on the phone and need to write down something. They are nowhere to be found. You're turning tables over. You're sending dogs to find it. Your children. You're late for work. Do I need to say anything else? If you are late for work, the world falls apart. Every road has construction on it. Your keys are gone. You can't find the other shoe that you want to wear. If you are late for work, forget it. Just call them. I'm not coming in till lunch. It's always something. And you try to help people sometimes. You ever try to help someone and it just gets worse? Let me help you. You have like a word of advice and you should have stopped like 5 words ago. Let me tell you what I think. Well, you should have stopped right there. Shut your mouth. It's kind of Murphy's Law, right? We all kind of live by Murphy's Law. One of the Murphy's Law said if you're working with a tool and you drop it, where does it fall? Right under the center of the vehicle, right? It always falls underneath something. It never, nothing ever falls right here, does it? Right? Well, I was putting together that little truck that they've got, my kids got, for Avery got for his birthday. It never failed. Logan even got everything out and laid it out for me. There's always one piece that I can't find. Where is it? God help me! There are people starving around the world, and I'm mad because I can't find this bolt. But really, it's always, when we say things like, it's always something, it's really just a phrase that hides our excuses for why we aren't doing what we need to do. It's always something. Because, you know what? There is always going to be something. There is always going to be something that tries to keep you from succeeding, that tries to keep you from moving forward, that tries to keep you from obeying God, that tries to keep you from worshiping, that tries. There's always going to be something, isn't there? And Jesus tells a parable here that deals with excuses. And when you read this passage of Scripture, you have a man that's having a supper and he goes out to invite people and everybody has an excuse. And every single one of these excuses are lame, aren't they? I mean, one guy says, I bought a piece of ground. I got to go see it. I mean, unless you are really, really, really rich, nobody buys a piece of land without looking at it, do they? Oh, I've bought 5 yoke oxen. I've got to go try them. I've never even tried them. I bought them, you know, sight unseen. I just bought them. Anytime you buy something sight unseen, somebody should punch you in the face. I mean, you really should. Look. And in the last excuse, I'm married. Now, I'll be honest with you. I might give you that one. I've got a honey-do list, and I just can't go right now. But these are pretty lame excuses, I mean, really. And honestly, that's what excuses normally become. They become lame. They're lame reasons for why we're not doing something. And because they had excuses, because they had a reason for why they weren't going to show up, they missed out on the greatest blessing of their life. Excuses are killers. Every one of us have to admit that life is an obstacle course. Life is not a stroll through the park. It's not skipping through daisies, is it? Life is an obstacle course. Every one of us in here is going to face a hurdle, an obstacle, something that is thrown into our path that is meant to divert us or to distract us. And we're always going to have a reason why we can't do something. We're always going to have a reason why we should quit. And following Jesus is no different. We all know that following Jesus costs us something. It demands a sacrifice of us. It demands that we take risks sometimes. It demands that we walk by faith. It demands that we trust Him even when He doesn't make sense. It demands something of our lives. And obedience and faith is not always easy. Can I get an amen? So we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in the circumstances that are against us when we have a God that is for us. You think you're the only one who's got obstacles? You think you're the only one that's fighting a battle? You think you're the only one that's going through something? Welcome to the human race. There is always going to be someone or something that is against you. But no matter what is against you, if God be for us, then who can be against us? See, God's always dealt with excuse makers. He called Moses, and Moses says in Exodus 4, he says, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Moses is called to do one of the greatest things that ever happened in the history of the Bible. This man was awesome. Moses was not your ordinary clergyman. You know what I'm saying? This guy saw God write the Ten Commandments with his finger. This is a powerful man of God. But when he first gets called, he has an excuse. He says, "I've never been eloquent." Not recently? I'm not recently eloquent? I wasn't eloquent yesterday either, God. And I haven't become eloquent since you last spoke to me. Moses said, I can't speak. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. But God doesn't pay attention to that. God said, I'll give you Aaron. I'll do whatever it takes. Moses, you're the guy I'm looking for. He came to Gideon, and Gideon says to him, Oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh. I am the youngest in my father's house. Gideon says, you know, the family, have you met my family? Remember, the angel shows up to Gideon and says, Hail, mighty man of God. And Gideon said, Have you met my family? Some of you have to admit, if Jesus came to your family reunion, there would be multiple exorcisms. Have you met my family? My family is the least in Manasseh. And I'm the youngest. I'm the runt. I'm the nobody. And what I love about that story is that the angel acts like he doesn't even hear what Gideon is saying. He still refers to him as a mighty man of God because the angel saw him as God saw him. Jeremiah said, Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet as a teenager. The Bible says he was actually called to be a prophet from his mother's womb, but he answered the call to be a prophet as a teenager. And his excuse was, I'm too young. I can't do this. I don't speak well because I am too young. But God still uses Jeremiah to be one of the greatest prophets that has ever existed in the Bible. See, it's always something is just the devil's line for keeping us trapped in the belief that we'll never make it, we'll never succeed, we'll never become who God wants us to become. There are always going to be frustrations in our life that try to distract us from the path that we are walking. You cannot do anything great in life and not expect to fight a battle in the middle of it. You cannot become who Jesus called you to become and not expect that it's going to stir up some devils and going to cause some controversy. There are people that are always going to stand against you when you try to walk by faith. And the devil is always going to use these somethings, these someones, these moments, these times, these obstacles, these hindrances to tell you, you can't move forward. But who does he think he is? And why don't we know who we are? Who does the devil think he is to tell me I can't? The Bible tells me in John chapter 15, first of all, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So Jesus said, I chose you. So I want everybody to know in here, if you are a follower of Christ, He chose you. He chose you. He picked you. He accepted you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. It started with Him and it'll end with Him. But not only are you chosen, you are ordained. You are appointed by God. You've not been appointed by man. You've not been appointed by the district. You've not been appointed by the president. You have been appointed by the God of the universe. You are ordained by Him. People may not accept you, but He has accepted you. And not only are you ordained, but you have been called to go forth and bring forth fruit. You have been called to produce. That your life is to produce. Not to die, not to live in a desert, not to barely make it by. Your life is a life of abundance. Your life is a life of blessing. Your life was meant to produce. And then not only produce, but Jesus said that you're chosen and ordained to bear fruit that remains. You've got to get down on the inside of you, church, that God has not only chosen and ordained me. See, it all started with Him. It's not up to me. It's up to what He's doing in my life. But because He's chosen and anointed me and appointed me and ordained me, then I can produce, and not only produce, I can produce fruit that lasts, that remains. So devil, come what may, you can huff and you can puff. You can attack from every side, but I'm still here. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing down. I'm not shutting up. I'm not allowing hell to tell me I can't. I'm still here. Because I've got fruit that remains. I've got fruit that remains. And then not only that, in John chapter 15, verse 16 says, after you bear fruit that remains, then you could ask the Father in my name and he will give it to you. He's given you the keys to unlock heaven. The Bible says, as Don quoted this morning, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. You were born to win. You were born to overcome. I've said this many times before. Don't get mad at me if I'm blessed. I can't help myself. Don't get mad at me if I succeed, if I win. I can't help myself. It's in my nature. I was born this way. I was born to overcome. I was born to win because Jesus lives on the inside of me. See, we may not have the greatest resume. And your past might be littered with failure and bad choices and regrets and all kinds of mess ups. But the thing is, that's not who you are anymore. That's not who you are anymore. You can say it's always something. Every time I try to do something, something pops up. Something tells me I can't. I've been through a divorce, or I lost my job, or I lost some friends, or I've made this mistake, or I did this, and I'm never going to amount to anything, and I'm never going to be who God wants me to be. But that's not who you used to be. You know who you are now? You live under the grace and the favor of God. You live under an open heaven. You live under the blessings of God. Blessings that want to overtake you. Blessings that want to chase you down. You live under the heavens. You live now under a God that wants the best for your life. The fact is, you can because He did. Look who Jesus ends up calling to the feast. After the excuse makers decided to diss him. He calls the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Look who he calls. He calls the crippled. He calls the poor. He calls the blind. He calls the lame. Jesus is good at taking messed up people and doing some amazing things with them. Can anybody testify in here that Jesus took a messed up person and made something amazing out of us? That stepped into the middle of our mistakes and our sins and our failures when we felt like we were nobody. We were the least in our family. We were forgotten and abandoned. Everybody else had passed us over. But Jesus came along and said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And now I've ordained you and appointed you and anointed you. I've filled you with my Holy Spirit. I've given you my word. I've put the name of Jesus on the inside of you. You don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. You don't have to throw your hands up in frustration. You are a child of God. It's always going to be something. Some of us still walk with a limp because of our past or our failure. Some of us still have scars that are showing of what we've been through, what we face. Some of us still feel the regrets of some bad choices and bad mistakes that we've had in our lives. But I'm grateful today that I don't live in my past, and that God does not consult my past to determine my future. And I'm grateful that His favor rests upon my life. I don't deserve it, but I'm grateful that I have it. Amen. There's always going to be something. But here's the thing. You don't have to let the something define you. Amen. There's always going to be something. Always. We don't live in a world in which problems don't exist. We don't live in a world in which evil doesn't exist. It doesn't take long to open our eyes and recognize that situation. So there's always going to be something. Here's some things that we're looking at. First of all, something happened to me. It's easy to quit and give up when we have someone else to blame it on. Right? I had y'all shouting and now you're mad at me. But it's always easy to give up when we have someone to blame. We have to recognize that something happens to everybody. Those who succeed, those who overcome, those who become who God wants them to become, are those who take the something and allow God to use it for His glory. Because everybody's got something. Not everybody's story is the same. But we can't let the externals of life determine the internals of life. We can't allow what's happening to us to trump what's happening in us. There are so many times in our lives that that we go through stuff and obviously we don't recognize benefits when we're in things. Good or bad, do we? We don't recognize the benefits many times of something when we're in the middle of it. It's only when we get to the other side of something that we recognize how blessed we were or what we went through, how it shaped us and made us the person that we are today. But here's why we trust God. God already knows those things. God has already seen it. He already knows where He's taking you. He already knows that what you're going through is going to make you into something, into someone. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that the something is the blessing. That person in your life that bugs you to death, God can actually use to sandpaper some rough edges off your life.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We all have something. And what ends up happening is when we go through things, it's easy for us to throw our hands up and say, I can't make it anymore. There are so many people that inspire me, that inspire by their walk of faith, by their tenacity, by their perseverance, by their faithfulness. There's nothing greater than someone who's faithful. They show up. They show up, man. They're there. You can count on them. You know that they're going to be there. And these are the kinds of people that no matter what happens, you know they're going to be there. There's some of us who can't make it to church if we stub our toe. Oh, it's always something. I better go back to bed. Stub my toe, can't make it. Now I see people who've been fighting for their lives. John Dolan comes in here and worships God every Sunday. But I stub my toe. Can't make it. Something's always going to happen to you, isn't it? Something's always going to happen to you. I stub my toe a lot. Life is not always fair. Life doesn't always go the way we want to do it. But something will happen to you. We just have to recognize that when something happens, we take the something to God. And we allow God to do something with our somethings. But not only did something happen to me, but someone else will do it. When it comes to obeying God, it is so much easier for us to just stand back and say, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will help in this area of ministry. Somebody else will go to the hospital. Somebody else will preach. Somebody else will share. Somebody else will invite. Somebody else will do it. But who is the someone we've all been waiting on? Who is this guy? Because I'd like to meet him. He needs a raise. It's not someone else's responsibility. We can't keep expecting other people to do what God has called us to do. It's always, yes, I completely agree. God is bigger than me. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but God's bigger than I am. And there are times that I'm not going to obey God. And there are times I'm going to miss God. And there's times that I'm going to be afraid and not do what I was supposed to do. And there's going to be times that I've got an excuse of why I shouldn't. And it's not as though heaven stops. Well, Mark quit. I guess we ought to shut down heaven. God's going to keep moving. His purpose is unstoppable.
Amen.
His promises cannot be revoked. Amen. What He has spoken, He will do. Yes, and there are times that God will say, I'll just find somebody else. But I don't want Him to find somebody else.
True.
I want Him to find me.
Amen.
I want Him to find me. Yes. Who shall go for us? Isaiah raised his hand and said, here am I, Lord. Send me. It's really easy for us to push things off on someone else doing things for us. I mean, let's just be honest with you. We live with an entitlement mentality many times. Someone else needs to take care of me. Does that mean? I don't mean to be mean. But someone else needs to take care of me. Someone else needs to do this. Somebody else needs to provide for me. Somebody else. You mean I actually have to get up and do something for myself? You mean I actually have to get up and obey God? You mean I actually have to get up and apply myself? Yes! It's not someone else's responsibility. It's yours. And my heart breaks sometimes because we live in a generation where our kids are being raised with an attitude that someone else is taking care of them. I am always so impressed when I see teenagers who pick themselves up out of the mess of their families and make something out of their lives because they're not going to allow themselves to be defined by anybody else's failures or words. I'm going to get up and be who God called me to be. It's not somebody else's fault, and nobody else has to do it for me. I'm going to become something. I'm going to do something. I'm going to be who God called me to be. One of my favorite kids at the youth ministry when I was at World Harvest in Columbus, she lived in a house where about 15 different people lived. She had uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas. They all lived in there. And half of them were either drunk or on drugs. Every morning she would go to school. She would have to step over somebody's drunk body to get out the front door. But she was one of the most radical followers of Jesus Christ that I had ever met. She got herself up for school every day and got her sister and her brother up for school every day because there wasn't an adult in the house that had enough sense to wake them up and get them to go to school. And here this 13, 14-year-old girl said, I'm going to make something of my life. I'm going to follow after Jesus. It doesn't matter what my family's doing because I'm not waiting on somebody else to give me something that God has called me to go after all by myself. We have to recognize, you know, it's not always just somebody else's going to make it happen for me. And sometimes we're even waiting on God to do things that He's already done.
Right.
And He's calling us to just get up and move.
Yes, sir.
Something happened to me. Someone else will do it. And someday I will do it. You know what the problem with some days is? There's no someday in the middle of the week. There's a Sunday, but there's no someday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, someday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's not in there. Why? Because someday doesn't come. Someday never exists. Someday. Now here's the thing. I don't want to make light of what happened to you. Or where you are in life. Every single one of us at some point in time have been in that place where we needed help. We've all been in that place where we needed someone to rescue us. We needed rescued by Jesus first and foremost. We've always been in a place where we needed somebody to love us and care for us. Possibly even provide some money for us or to pay a bill for us. We've all been in that situation. We've all been in that place where we had to rely on somebody else to help us. So I'm not making light of the fact that what you're going through isn't real. We've all been there. We've all been through that battle where we had money and now we don't. We've all been through that battle where things are going our way and when things are not. We've been hurt. We've been wounded. We've been hurt physically. We've been hurt emotionally. But the thing is, as long as we continually say to ourselves, someday it's going to get better. It never comes. Because someday never comes. Someday I'll obey God. You know, someday I'll get involved in the children's ministry. Or someday I'll get involved in youth or the nursery. Or someday I'll let God use me, but not right now. I remember having that attitude. I was saved when I was 12 years old. I remember sitting in church and I would consistently say, you know, someday I'll worship God like they're doing. And I just decided my someday was right now. I don't have to wait till I'm 20, 25, 30 years old to do something for God. My someday's right now. Someday I'll obey God. Someday. Because really, someday is just the cry of people that are afraid or lazy or complacent or apathetic. Someday. Someday I'll get to that. And some of you wives have heard your husbands use that phrase. Someday I'll finish that project. Someday I'll paint that wall. Someday. And the problem with some days, you can't go to the calendar and circle that day. I'm excited about someday. Can't make reservations for someday. You can't call Myrtle Beach and say, hey, we're coming for vacation. Can we get a room? When are you coming? Someday. Someday we'll be there. Put us down. Not going to happen. Someday's right now. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. There is no tomorrow. There is no next week. It does not exist. If God has called us to obey, then obey we will do. Because waiting for someday is keeping us from knowing the blessings of today. There may not have ever been another supper that they were invited to. You know, there is coming a day. I am grateful that as long as I'm vertical, as long as I'm alive, as long as Jesus lives, as long as there is grace, there are second chances. But there is coming a day where there are no more second chances. There are no, let me get a mulligan. You don't get a mulligan on life. This is all you've got. And some days have caused me to waste so much time. Someday I'll pray more. Someday I'll read my Bible more. Someday I'll be a radical worshiper. Someday I'll go witness to my neighbor. Someday I'll start tithing. Someday I'll serve in such and such ministry. Someday I'll do blah, blah, blah. And all it ends up doing is it causes me to waste the days that I've been given. I've been given these days. I don't want to look at my children when they're 20 years old and say, I wish I would have because I put every other... Someday I'll play with them. Someday I'll spend time with them. Someday I'll go do this with them. Someday. Someday never comes. It's always something. There's always going to be reasons why we can't obey God. But God has not only called us, He has equipped us. He's empowered us. He's emboldened us. He's enveloped us with His Spirit, His protection, His provision, His love, His favor. There's no greater joy than living the life that God has for us. And we can't allow the somethings to keep us from what God has called us to do. The somethings, the someones, the somedays. I can't allow them to keep me from being whom God has called me to become. This is the life I have. And the Bible says, Lord, give us wisdom that we might learn to number our days. Because we don't have forever, and life we all know is short. And we have to recognize that God has blessed us. God has blessed us. And the devil has told you that you can't, but he tells you that you can. And the enemy tells you that you shouldn't, but God says you should. No matter what we go through, no matter what we face, and no matter what comes against us, we have to recognize that the somethings are always going to be there. That the somethings, though, come and go. But God is eternal. His word is unchanging. His promises never fail. People come and go. Circumstances come and go. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to encourage you this morning, you can do the somethings. You can overcome the somethings in your life. The someones, the somedays. You can be who God called you to be. Why don't you bow your heads with me this morning. Father, we thank